You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing any articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Anthony Herron is in for Dan. I'm still Connor, and Mike Florio is still our guest at 10 o'clock every Wednesday. Mike joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. I tell you what, one of the most predictable things in the NFL is disarray, mismanagement, and chaos in Washington. It has evinced itself in the firing of Jay Gruden. His key did not work. Is there a long-term solution to the coaching situation in Washington? Let's start there. Let's just start with the things that might actually change.
Well, no, the only thing that's ever going to change the organization is for Daniel Snyder to sell the team. It's been 20 years of this now. They stumble into a playoff berth every once in a while. And in the past 10 years, I firmly believe that Daniel Snyder has essentially handed the ownership reins as a practical matter, as a public matter, to Bruce Allen. He's the surrogate owner. He's the guy who's the pincushion. Just like Roger Goodell's the pincushion for all owners, Bruce Allen is the pincushion for Daniel Snyder. And Bruce Allen's not going anywhere. Snyder's not going anywhere. And whoever would take that job as head coach has to accept that. And so what it means is, if it's a coach who has options elsewhere, unless the financial offer is significantly greater in Washington, that coach is going to go elsewhere. And you may have a candidate who would be a viable coach for the team, and they decide, I'll wait till next year or the hiring cycle after that. So it's going to be a challenge for them to find somebody that can really turn this thing around. And I don't know whether they're aware of that. I don't sense a lot of self-awareness coming from the organization, and that's part of the problem. But it's not going to be nearly as easy as they think it is.
So that's the second part of the question. I'm seeing national reports saying they'd really like Mike Tomlin to take that job. And that's just, it's freaking laughable.
Well, it's laughable for now, but I'm not ready to rule out that Mike Tomlin's time in Pittsburgh is going to continue indefinitely. It's very easy to keep a coach for years and years and years if you never have a horrible season. And they could end up having a horrible season. You know, the Steelers haven't won fewer than five games since 1969. Mm-hmm. And it could be that the Steelers are inclined to move on. And if Washington could be duped into giving up a draft pick or two to get the rights to Mike Tomlin, and then Tomlin would want to go there, then, and he's from Eastern Virginia, he's got an affinity for players from Eastern Virginia, but he'd have to be able to accept the dysfunction that is the Washington organization. He's got a relationship with Bruce Allen from their mutual time in Tampa. Sometimes a prior relationship can be a bad thing, though. Mm. It's not always good. It's like, yeah, I know that guy, and I definitely don't want to work with him. But I'm not ready to say it's an impossibility, in part because we have seen far crazier things happen just in the past 2 months in the NFL. But a lot of dominoes would have to fall just the right way before that would happen. And look, does that mean Daniel Snyder's not interested? No, he may very well be interested. But to turn that into actually hiring Tomlin remains to be seen.
Mike, the emotion that goes into preparation for the NFL season is usually part of the storyline. And sometimes there's bickering from within teams and then teams against each other. And it can lead to whether or not certain teams are amongst the most vilified. And I'm wondering, who do you think is the team in the NFL that folks are most eager to see have some frailty show? You know, the New England Patriots are obviously near the top of that list every season, but you can certainly throw, I think, the Chicago Bears in that mix a bit. We saw John Gruden dancing in the locker room afterwards, kind of making fun of Club Dub. And the Cleveland Browns would be on my short list for that, too. Who do you think would top the list of the team that most folks around the league can't wait to see them fail?
Well, I've been watching the NFL closely since 1973. So when you look at a 46-year perspective, the one team that stands out above all others is the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. They continue to resonate. They continue to polarize. They haven't played in the NFC Championship game for 24 years. And they can think about this. The big game late afternoon on Sunday isn't 49ers-Rams, as it should be. It's Cowboys at the Jets because it's the Cowboys. And the New York market has something to do with it. But can you imagine? This is a showdown in L.A. If the 49ers beat the Rams and send them to 3-3, my goodness. And if the Rams beat the 49ers, it bunches up the NFC West. Nope. That's not the big game. The big game is America's team, which is stumbling along at 3-2 after a great start, against a team that can't find its way out of its own locker room. So that's the power of that brand. And there are so many people out there that either like the Cowboys or hate the Cowboys. There's nobody in between. So that's the one for me that really stands out.
Mike, we're just kind of taking an informal poll of national pundits like yourself, guys who, like you say, have observed this league for a good long time and seen the ebbs and the flows. Do you have, what kind of faith, rather, do you have in Matt Nagy restoring some offensive consistency of any kind to the Bears this season?
Well, where's it going to come from? Well, that's the thing. Where is the identity of the offense? This is the point that Chris Sims has been making on PFT Live with me 4 days a week, really since week one when we were in Chicago for the first game of the season, in the aftermath of that contest. What is the thing that the Bears offense does well? What's the identity of the offense? And I still think it was a mistake to trade Jordan Howard. Let him finish out his rookie contract. Let him walk away as a free agent. Get a compensatory draft pick in 2021. That may be better than the package they got by trading him. But who is the guy who's making the offense go? And there was a lot of faith that's been put in Mitch Trubisky, and it's still a work in progress. He's still trying to find his ceiling wherever it may be. And I think that it's going to be hard to do. And it's going to rely upon the defense holding up more often than not. If the defense holds up on Sunday and doesn't give up a 97-yard drive on 13 plays to the Raiders, then the Bears are 4-1. And, you know, we continue to say they're fine with Chase Daniel. They're fine with Mitch Trubisky. They're fine with an offense that isn't dynamic because their defense is good enough. But if the defense can't do it, then they got a problem. And look, we saw the Packers offense look sluggish early in the year, and they've gotten better on the fly, but they have Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what Mitch Trubisky is going to be, and I don't know when he's going to be healthy, and I don't know that it's going to matter when he is.
Which is the deepest division in the NFL right now?
Probably the NFC North. I mean, look, every team is at or above 500. You've got the Bears and the Vikings sharing last place at 3-2, and you've got the Lions. The Lions are the most overlooked team in the NFC right now. We're trying to figure out who the best team is in the NFC. I don't know, and that's part of the fun of watching the games on a one-week-at-a-time basis, and we'll find out. If the Lions can go to Lambeau Field with an extra week to get ready for it and beat the Packers on Monday night, then that's going to change our thinking. And I feel like that's the way this season's going to be in the NFC. Every week when the dust settles, we're going to change how we feel about the teams. And all it takes is one or two bad weeks. Or look at the Rams. They were 3-0. Hey, they're the class of the conference. They have a game Sunday. They have a game Thursday. They're 3-2, and we feel differently about them. So I think that's going to be a weekly thing, and we're going to have to reconfigure. It's almost going to be like the stock market. Every game day, it's going to go up or it's going to go down, but it's never going to stay the same.
I would imagine toward the top of that stock market is it's still the Kansas City Chiefs, regardless of the – well, I suppose as long as he's ambulatory – Patrick Mahomes remains, you know, a guiding force in this NFL. Do you get the sense that the throttle changes any if he's less than 100% going into the next couple of weeks, that they may look any different, or they just going to plow away, keep doing what Patrick Mahomes is able to do?
You know, there's two issues. He did injure the ankle back in week one, the other ankle, and it took him a little while to get back to speed. But if he can move like he normally does, he is capable of doing things that I don't think any quarterback in the NFL has ever done. When he's hampered from a mobility standpoint, he's more normal, but he's still highly effective. I think the real challenge for the Chiefs is to come up with a way to beat the man coverage that teams are now using against them. And it goes back to what the Patriots did in the AFC Championship game. They had man coverage underneath, and they made it look like they had a deep safety, but that guy was rotating over to help with Tyreek Hill. Well, there's no Tyreek Hill, so it's easier to get away with man coverage across the board. That's what teams have been doing. The Colts went away from what was predominantly zone coverage for them to man coverage predominantly on Sunday night, and that contributed to the win. And part of the other blueprint is keep the offense on the sidelines. And we're seeing more and more teams with that shifted focus to running the football. And, you know, they've got the Vikings coming up in a few weeks, and the Vikings like to run the ball and play tough defense. And, yeah, I just think that the Chiefs are bumping up against the limit of what they can do without making some sort of adjustment. And it also hurts to not have Tyreek Hill. And it hurt on Sunday night to not have Sammy Watkins. But Mahomes is only going to take you so far. and teams have adjusted, and now the Chiefs have to counter this trend toward facing them with man-to-man coverage.
What's your sense for some of the potentially huge player movement that could happen here in the coming weeks? Guys like Jalen Ramsey, Stephon Diggs, who could be on the move at some point.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to tell, and we know this from experience that people lie all the time, and there's a strategic reason for lying. I remember when the Vikings were getting ready to trade Percy Harvin, Rick Spielman got up at the podium and said, "We have no intent to trade Percy Harvin," and then they traded him like a week later. But, you know, if teams come to the conclusion that it's over and the season is lost, and there are a lot of teams, I think, that are falling into that category, then they have to ask themselves, do we take the guys we have and turn them into future draft picks? And do we shed guys who aren't going to be part of the solution? So I think a lot of teams, more than usual, are going to be at a position in 3 weeks. It's actually 2 weeks and 6 days when the window closes to just wave the white flag and have a fire sale. And I don't know that I think the Vikings really do want to keep Diggs, and I think Diggs wants to stay. But, you know, you could say that's just posturing to try to get the best possible trade. Trent Williams is still holding out in Washington. They seem to be not willing to try to trade him. But, you know, other guys that I keep an eye on, and I know there was a report over the weekend that Von Miller's untouchable. I don't think anybody's untouchable except for Patrick Mahomes. And I could see the Broncos at least listen to offers for every veteran player if they feel like they have no chance at getting to the playoffs. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of guys that we're thinking about. But you know what happens? There's usually a lot of guys we're thinking about, and then somebody that we weren't thinking about gets traded, and it always disappoints. It always fizzles. But it feels like this year there's an opportunity for some teams that think they're a player or two away from becoming shortlist contenders to go on a little bit of a shopping spree before the window closes.
Mike, to that end, as we let you go, and maybe this is a little bit more long-term than the next 2 weeks and 6 days, but how much more do you need to see out of Gardner Minshew before Jacksonville has a real, honest quarterback question? And if we're already there, how does it resolve itself?
I think they already do have a real, honest quarterback question because Nick Foles didn't have any equity built up in Jacksonville. The fact that he was Super Bowl MVP in Philadelphia means nothing with the Jaguars. And you look at how they're marketing this guy with Minshew mania, and he was the offensive rookie of the month for the entire NFL. And, you know, I feel like every other tweet on the Jaguars feed is about Gardner Minshew. So I think at some point, as we get closer and closer to Nick Foles' eligibility to return from injured reserve, we're going to hear that Foles will play when he's 100%. Well, when's he going to be 100%? He's going to be 100% once Minshew mania has completely fizzled out. Then you've never benched Foles, right? You've never taken away Foles' job. He's just not 100%. And you're not benching Minshew if he fizzles out. You're just saying we're putting back on the field the guy that was the starter. But I think they found somebody who's going to be a factor beyond this season. The problem is they got a lot of money that they owe Nick Foles next year, and it's all fully guaranteed. So, you know, you could call this a good problem to have, but it's definitely a problem that they're going to have to navigate.
Mike, appreciate it as always. We'll check in next Wednesday.
Thanks, you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.